Well, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Fulks and I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at the Lewis Center campus. And I hope you're enjoying the Advent series that we're going through right now. The big idea that we're talking about every week is the idea this Messiah has come. It's not just that he's come, but he's also coming again. And so this week, we picked up by talking about some of the promises that come out of the covenants in the Old Testament. And at the Lewis Center campus, we really focused on the covenant that God made with David. And we kind of contrasted David with one of the other kings of the Old Testament, one of the ones that you kind of just read through the names blindly as you read through the Old Testament. And this one was Amaziah. In 2 Chronicles 25:1-2, it says that Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with his whole heart. And we just talked about how that's not what you want said about you when you die, that like he or she was the best half-hearted person I know. No one has half-hearted expectations of you. Coaches don't have half-hearted expectations. They never tell you to give 80% of your best. You don't get married with half-hearted expectations. You don't say, you know, on your wedding day, with this ring I thee wed, I promise to love, honor, and cherish you a pretty good chunk of the time. So just like your spouse or your football coach or your boss, God expects 100% commitment. Now, not 100% perfection, but 100% commitment on our end. And so what we see in the covenant that God made with David is that David was a guy who had vision. You know, Proverbs 27 says that where there is no vision, people die. But God's vision is most of the time different than ours, because God's vision is for the quality of your heart, not the quantity of your stuff. So the question that really comes is, what did God see in David? What was this unique vision? And there's a lot of things about David's life that really I'm sure that we could have chosen to talk about, but we saw three things in David. And really, you know, David's father, whenever Samuel came to anoint him king, he'd even say his name. It's almost like he was like, yeah, well, what's his name? He's out there in the field, but he can't be the guy. And, you know, so what you realize, it's not a talent thing. It's a heart thing. And here are three characteristics that we saw. Number one, serving. You know, David served so faithfully as a shepherd, even after he was elected king. They had to find David to go play music for Saul. And he was out in the field tending sheep, even after he knew he was going to be the next king. When David went to fight Goliath, he was going to see his brothers, and they had to go get him from tending sheep. And so David just had this tremendous humility about his life where he was willing to serve. And man, I'm so grateful for how you serve as part of our church. We talked about how we had a few life groups get together and serve the international students at Ohio State by sending them bins full of stuff for finals week, and just to reach out and to say that they care. And we talked about, you know, the next Life Teams orientation at our campus is on December the 23rd. We'd love for you to be part of it if you want to know more about serving. But it wasn't just serving, it was also worshiping. You know, when David was king and he brought the ark into the city of Jerusalem, David was so overjoyed that he danced, and his wife, she really tried to shame him for dancing. And we just talked about, man, what is there in your life that has this sense about it that's uncontainable joy? What do you respond to emotionally in such a way that it's just kind of uninhibited? And for David, that was God, because God was first in his life. And we just talked about that reality that, you know, there's no way that God would send his one and only son to the cross so that you and I could be 75% committed. So there was worshiping, there was serving, and then the third thing we talked about was giving. It was that moment when David goes to the threshing floor of a guy named Araunah, and he wants the land for a sacrifice. What if actually, eventually, God was going to use the land to become the Temple Mount. And Araunah offered David the land. He offered him the wood for the fire. He offered him animals for the offering. But David has a real interesting response in 2 Samuel 24. He said, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that costs me nothing. And I don't know about you, but I love something for nothing. But David realized when he was giving something to God, he was going to give God his best, right? And so we talked about how we can do that. How can we do good? And we talked about one way that you can do that is, you know, our teaching pastors. I asked 29 people from our campuses, really including our teaching pastors, to write a second book This book is owned by LifePoint. It's called Your Next 30 Days of Relationships. All the proceeds from the sale of the books this fall are going to go to support what we're calling the Out of Sight Project, which is taking care of expenses for the site of our new Lewis Center campus next year. And we just talked about, man, the reality of how this year we have tried to focus on families. You know, we had the family, the parenting conference. We developed the new LifePoint family framework. And so inside the context of the book, man, folks from our church just have these incredible stories. If I were to tell you that there was a resource where you could talk about the grief of or understand more about the grief of losing a child or dealing with a chronic illness or what to do when your spouse has long-term issues with depression and anxiety or how to navigate being single in our culture or what it's like to adopt a child or have a Christian view of sexuality, both from a male perspective and a female perspective, or what if there was a resource that gave you 20 ideas for how to make memories together that bring synergy between your kids instead of the angst of having them fight all the time? I mean, God's just really gifted some great writers at our church. I'm excited about the project. And so in all of the areas where you can give electronically, via text, via the app, via the website, there's a designation there for the Out of Sight Project. If you'd like to make an end of the year gift for every $10 that you give, that really pays for the cost of another book. And so we have cards for you that you can stuff for Christmas in stockings or give as gifts. And the books will then be printed, as many as are ordered and paid for. And those will be given, those will be here for Valentine's Day, just in time. Those books called Your Next 30 Days of Relationships. And so it's a way that you can do good, do good, do good, right? You can make a difference today in the life of a family by giving them a book. You can do good by helping eliminate costs for our site. And you can make an investment in what I believe the site, the church that's built there, will be there for hundreds of years, where people will come there to worship. So what you see in David is a man that Acts chapter 13 says he's a man after God's own heart, which is what we want. We want to leave a legacy that long outlives our lives. And we sing that song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, at this time, not just because it's a great hymn, but because Jesus is who we call the Son of David. Everything David was great at, he had tons of flaws. He was a manipulator at times. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. But the Son of David was not. And where David, the king, failed, King Jesus will not fail. He's the Messiah. He's the one that you and I have been longing for and waiting for. So let's take a minute and pray towards that. God, whatever is in front of us today, we lay our lives down in front of you. You're the one we're waiting for. You're the long-expected king. You're the reason, God, that this Christmas season makes sense. And so, God, we want to live that same style of incarnational life in terms of how we serve and how we worship and how we give. God, I pray that you'll make us into people that are like you. I want to give you just a minute now. Just take a few minutes as you begin your day today and pray and invite God in to those areas of your life. Invite God to speak to you about your level of commitment to him.
Well, God bless you guys. Have a great day. Hope to see you back tomorrow on the LifePoint Drivecast.